Most of you know Cherie, but I was thinking about what you're going to like about Cherie Bosch. And one of the things that Cherie has a unique ability to do is she takes these things that are way up there that when people talk about them, a lot of times you don't know what they're saying, and she brings them down to us here on earth. She does that. She takes it. She takes these things. You're like, wait, what? And then you can hear that she's actually discovering and exploring on her way, and that's a great gift. There's a scripture in I believe it's Philippians that in the message it says that we're not guards of the great things of God, but we're actually guides that are half a step ahead. And that's really like, well, we like those kind of teachers that are just like, I'm not amazing at everything, but I'm here, and come on with me into this adventure and into finding the treasures of God. And Cherie does that. She has a great way of just presenting what God's showing her. So just give Cherie Bosch a big hand as she comes up and shares.
Thank you. That was nice. Alrighty, well, I'm back. I think it was about a month ago we started talking about destiny. And so I want to pick up where I left off. For those of you who aren't here, I'm going to do a quick recap. One of the things that I really focused on and God put on my heart was just to share that we all have a destiny, that we all have a purpose, and that we're not just here to live out our days and then go to heaven, right? That'd be kind of boring, right? And I think, sadly, that is, for a lot of people, that is the mindset. It's like trudging through life just to die. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to live that way. I want to live with purpose. I want to be intentional about fulfilling what God has written about me in my book. And I want our family's book to be fulfilled, and our children's book, and their children, and their children, and their children. So everyone has a book. I talked about that last time. Even Jesus had a book, has a book. I'm going to say has, because I don't think his book is completed by any means. And so one of the scriptures I referenced was in Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, where Jesus said, therefore, when he came into the world, and this is a repeat of what Jesus said. Jesus said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. The Father did not desire sacrifice and offering. But a body you have prepared for me. So we all have a body, right? I hope so. Be kind of weird if we didn't. Jesus said, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. So the Father didn't delight in doing, and the sacrifices didn't work anymore. And then Jesus said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. So even Jesus knew, because duh, he was there, right? He was there when they wrote his book. He actually got to write some of his book. He was in consultation with Holy Spirit and Father God. So each of us have that same book, an individualized, a destiny that God has written about us, and it's so personal. You know, I love when God speaks to me out of my book. I mean, it literally, during worship, you know, I felt the presence of God, and I heard some things for myself, and it just made me weep, because our Father is not far away. He is so up close and personal with us. So, we all have a destiny, and we've all been hijacked on some level. It's just one of the things about living. We've all made bad choices. We've all made decisions that we regret. We have flesh. You know, especially children, they are a ball of flesh because it hasn't been discipled and disciplined out of them, right? And there are a lot of adults that are still making decisions out of flesh. And then there are things that happen to us that we can look back on and go, ah, the enemy came right at me at this time to derail me. Because guess what? Our destinies are so big that there are times that the enemy wants to stop us in our tracks because we are a threat to the kingdom of darkness, praise God, because we have victory, right? So what I challenged everyone last time was to think about the places in your life where you can look back now and go, I was derailed. I got hijacked at that moment. And see, I challenged us to, we think with such humanistic thinking that a lot of times we go, oh man, I messed that up. Oh, you know, we look at our past failures as a failure. I messed up. I didn't do right. I did something wrong. Instead of going, what was I about to come into that the enemy wanted to take me out of? Yeah, because if we can reframe how our past looks, it gives us enormous clues about our books, about what our destiny is, about who we are. So today, I want to talk about recovering destiny. So we've been in a season, and I know we've all felt it, we're ending, praise God, we are ending a season of seven-year warfare. And when the calendar flips to eight, and actually the Jewish calendar flips in late September, early October. I'm thinking it may be October 2nd at Rosh Hashanah. That's the head of the year. We will enter a new season. So if y'all are tired of warfare, everybody say, praise the Lord, it will diminish. And praise the Lord. I'm tired, y'all. Don gave me a word last Sunday. He was like, you are strong. And y'all, I mean, last week, there were times when I had to go, I am strong. I mean, I had to proclaim that over myself because things have been heavy. Would y'all agree? So, we're coming to an end of that. But what we're seeing in this last little bit, it's like a tantrum, a toddler. The enemy is going, wah! I'm having to give up my toys. Wah! That's what we're seeing manifest in the earth realm. That's the chaos. But praise God, we're going to get a break from that. And so this recovering destiny is really where we're headed. And I believe, and this is what I want to focus on this morning, that a huge piece of that is really connected to understanding the Father as our Father. And this is a very hard concept. I like to say it like this, and I don't mean this disrespectful in any way, but everybody loves Jesus. He's easy to love. He died for us. He forgave our sins. It was his death and resurrection that gets us into right standing with the Father. But it's a whole different ballgame when it comes to the Father. Because many of us were not fathered. And out of that lack of fathering, we have some very wrong ideas about who God the Father is. And that is hard. And honestly, our lack of fathering in the natural is why we're missing whole generations of people in the church. That's why millennials are not here. They desire to be fathered. So the good news is, I believe that God the Father is restoring his fathership in the earth realm. And he's going to restore fathers and mothers. It's not just about fathers. But he's going to restore that to the church so that this generation can be harvested. That ought to get somebody excited. Because there are a lot of prodigals. How many of y'all have prodigals in your own family that you've prayed for and you're waiting for them to come in? We are at that place. We're there. So, I want to go to 1 Samuel 30. And I want to talk about David. And this, I think, is a real tangible example of where he was You know, he was a warrior king. He was taking territory. I mean, David was the man. He was kicking butt and taking names, right? And this is a classic example where the enemy came in and almost wiped him out. So here at 1 Samuel 30, David is with his band of warriors. Now remember, these were misfits. They were outcast. Nobody wanted them, right? So David, because he was a good leader, he was able to pull these men together, and they became a mighty army. And so, remember, Saul's still in place. Saul wants David dead. There's a lot of chaos. Should sound familiar. You've got two realms of authority that are at war. While we're waiting for the rightful ruler, who would be King David, to come in. So there's lots of violence. So what happened here is they go off to raid. They go off to battle. And while they're there, it says, picking up at 30, it says, 3 days later, David and his men arrived back at Ziklag. The Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They tore Ziklag to pieces and burned it down. Okay, so think about this. You go off to the mall and you come back. Somebody has came in, stole everything you had, burned your house down, and took your kids or your spouse. Right? That's pretty much total destruction. And they probably got your bank account numbers and was able to steal your money too. Right? I mean, it was just, they're gone, and then total wipeout, total destruction. It gets worse for David, because not only did they take everyone, it says women, young and old, they didn't kill anyone, but they drove them like a herd of cattle. And by the time David and his men arrived, entered the village, they had been, everything had been burned to the ground, and their wives, sons, and daughters all taken prisoner. So catch this. It wasn't just a one-time wipeout. Because they had his wife and his children, it was generational. Yeah, it was total generational. He had to, you know, he knew he had to do something. David and his men burst out in loud wails, wept and wept until they were exhausted with weeping. David's two wives were taken prisoner along with the rest. And suddenly, David was in worse trouble. Okay, so things went from bad to worse. How could they? How could things get worse? Well, the men were talking among themselves, bitter over the loss of their families, and they wanted to stone him. So how many of y'all have ever felt wiped out by the enemy? And then you feel like there's like a death warrant on your, you know, like a bounty for your head, right? Because the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play by God's rules. He's not a gentleman. So everything's gone. They're mourning for their families and their children. And he's been anointed king. He gets generational at this point. Because guess what? If David doesn't have an heir to the throne, what happens? The word of the Lord can't be fulfilled. Because the word of the Lord over David was, your sons will inherit your throne. So the generational promise is gone. And so here's where we are, I believe. At this moment in time, David strengthened himself with trust in his God, and he ordered Abiathar, maybe saying that wrong, the priest, the son of Abimelech, bring me the ephod so I can consult God. Guess what? We have an ephod today, and no one has to bring it to us. It's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, when it was poured out on Acts 2, that same Holy Spirit is available for us today to consult with and have revelation from the throne of God. And a priest does not have to bring it to you. We have access. And the answer came, and I'm reading out of the message. It says, go after them. This is what God says. Go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. Yes, you'll make the rescue. I like how it's stated in another translation a tiny bit better. God says, without fail. Now, I like that, because when God says without fail, you're not going to fail. Without fail, you will recover all. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to recover all. I'm ready. As I've meditated on this, Holy Spirit has shown me things where we are so frequently stolen from that we don't even know we're stolen from. Does that make sense? See, that's why I think we have to spend some reflective time with the Lord looking back on the past, because how are we going to recover all if we don't know all? Right? We can't go out to get something if we don't even know it's out there to get. So, we know what happens next. David goes, but here's what's interesting. He takes 600, and they go a little ways, and about 200 get tired, and then some more get tired, and people are probably whining and crying by this point, and they're worn out. And, I mean, they're mourning. They're probably worried, right? So he has to reduce his army. Isn't that just like God? Sometimes he gets us down to short shrift before he'll send us to do something. Why is that? Because if we went with a big army, we'd think it was us. So he gets them, he recovers all, everything is fine. Praise God, they did not stone him. And he was able to recover generationally. He was able, here's what I love about this. Scripture tells us not only did he recover everything that they took from him, see, these band of raiders had been raiding. So guess what? He got all their plunder too. I love that, because what does Scripture tell us? But if he, the thief, is caught, he must pay back seven times what he stole, even if he has to sell everything in his house. See, God doesn't recover us just to back to where he was. There's a bonus. There's an interest. There's a repayment better than what we had. You know, a lot of times when we do figure out that we've been stolen from, we never think to ask for interest. I want interest. I want a bonus. Because just like David and his men, what they went through when everything was stolen, it wasn't good enough just to give it back equal. God doesn't work that way. That is the Father, or a revelation of the Father. So, it would have been easy for David, just like all of us, to look on that and go, man, I messed up. I should have stayed at home with my wife and kids. I shouldn't have gone out, shouldn't have gone to war with my men. You know, woe is me. My heir to the throne is gone. Everything I have is gone. I'll just start over. How many of us do that? Yeah. But he didn't. And see, this is why I believe he didn't, because he had a revelation of the Father. And I believe that's where we are today. If we're going to rebound and recover, it is going to have to come through who the Father is. Jesus is our door to the Father. That's why we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. But it is the dimension of the Father that released the resurrection power that caused Jesus to be brought to life. That's where I believe the Lord is saying, I want you to learn who I am as Father. And if you're like me, because I had a very distant father, that can be hard. If this makes you go on the inside, I want to encourage you. The only way to rebuild the knowledge of the Father is by reading the Word and believing that it is absolutely true. Because as we read the Word and we learn who He is, and if we will extend that trust to Him, we will see the Father in our life. So, what's hard about this with the Father is it's stretching everyone. Each and every one of us. Like I was telling Les when I came in, you know, yesterday I was all like walking around my house, Lord help us, Jesus. I was in crying and I was like, why did I agree to speak tomorrow? Why am I doing this? I don't even enjoy this. That's where my mind was. This is a lot of work. What am I doing? I mean, I was boo-hooing like I was having a breakdown, y'all. I probably was having a breakdown, wasn't I? Poor Jim. And, you know, I heard the Lord say, because here's where my heart was, okay? Are y'all ready? This is my heart. God, are you going to show up? Because if you don't show up, there's no reason to go. None. If you don't come and if your spirit doesn't invade this room and everything we do and connect with us on that level, why do we go to church, right? I came here to have an corporate exchange with the Holy God. I did not come here to hear somebody talk nonsense for 30 minutes so I could go eat lunch. I can sit at home on my couch and do nothing. But see, what's scary for me is that I have to trust that God is going to show up. And see, I know this is not life and death. Lord, I don't think anybody's going to fall out and die because I'm up here talking. But I hope not. But anyway, the thing is, God takes us to places where He can reveal His Father's heart and we can learn to trust Him. Because one day there might be a life and death situation. And I'm going to need to know that God will show up there in that, just like He's shown up today. But that's hard. Because it stretches us. It's just like the Bible talks about, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to extend your tent pegs. We are all in places where we are being stretched. Our tent pegs are being expanded. And we have to come to a place where we're willing to say, okay, Daddy. Okay, Daddy. Okay, I trust you. I trust you. One of the things, and this is where I'm going to kind of close, I want us to... We're going to pray at the end and just do an adoption, if you will. Because part of that fathering is being willing to acknowledge, number one, He is the Father. And it's not just a head thing. It's a heart thing. It's a spirit thing. And actually being forthright in asking and saying, I want to be adopted by you, Dad. I want to be adopted by you, Father God. I want to see you in this dimension. And like I said earlier, why is that important? Why is it? Because God is restoring His church. The bride will come back. She is without spot or wrinkle. Jesus is not coming back for an emaciated, dirty church. He didn't die for that. He's coming back for the generations. He's coming back for us. And we're going towards that. The world is not going to hell in a handbasket. It may look like that. But Jesus didn't die for everything just to fall apart. There's a remnant here. The bride, she is beautiful. And I think that we assume that because we believe in Jesus, and it's a good assumption, it's safe, that the Father becomes our Father too. But I think we need to be purposeful in stating that. And here's the thing, really big picture, why it's important. Because we want the prodigals back. We do. We want the generations that are missing back. We want that blessing that they bring. And we don't, I personally don't want to raise my kids in the church to see them leave when they're in their 20s or 30s. And the only way to do that, I believe, is through allowing God to restore the fathers and the mothers to the church, because otherwise it would be out of order. That's right. It would be out of order. So, let me read this. And this is Romans 8, somewhere in there. It says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again." Did y'all hear that fear creep up on me yesterday? Are you going to show up, God? I was afraid. Terror. "Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, Daddy." So, is it okay if I pray? Are we at a good spot? Is that okay with everybody? So, Lord, we do thank you for today. And I just come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And first, God, I repent where I've not represented you like you are intended to be represented with my children, with those around me, Lord, where we have discredited who you are, Father God, where we've made mistakes parenting, where we've actually hindered the next generation from knowing who you are. And Lord, we forgive. If you had a hard, harsh father or mother, this is the place just to say, "I'm sorry. I forgive you. I forgive you." The two most powerful weapons that we have as believers are repentance and forgiveness. So, Lord, I just extend forgiveness to my parents. I forgive the distance between me and my dad. I forgive the void. And even now, I just speak to that child and I say, that distance is not who our Father God is. And Father, we just come corporately, Lord, and we ask, we state boldly before your throne of grace that it is our desire to be adopted by you. And that for in every one of our books, Lord, that there is a page that says, "Adopted by the Most High." That there would never be any doubt, Lord, for anyone who has access to read our books or to know, Lord, that we are sons and daughters, heirs and co-heirs with Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for adopting me. I thank you for the proclamation in heaven over each of us is, "This is my child who I am well pleased." And through that being a son and daughter, Lord, we receive your healing. We receive your healing of those broken bits and hard places, Lord, where we've been hurt. And Lord, we ask you to take us into that place and stretch us and give us a powerful knowledge of who you are as the Father and what your heart is for us. for all the plans and the destiny that you have. And Father, we ask for your church to be restored so that the fathers and the mothers can come in and that the generations would come in. And we call out to the fathers and the mothers and we say, come in. And we call out to the generations that have been lost, to the north, the south, and the east and the west, and we say, come in. It's time. It is time to recover all. In the name of Jesus.